Christ.
And I speak to you in God's holy name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Today we are celebrating the light to the nations. Jesus is the light to the nations. Come among us, and in this dark season we celebrate as a reminder, in a wholesome way, how the light, the days are getting longer. It's like Jesus' presence within us is getting brighter and brighter, and the love of God is within us, and we are to be more expansive and loving as just as the days get more sunny and bright. That this season is a time when we learn more fully about God. Not the God of the Old Testament, full of vanquishing and blood, full of sacrifice, but about Jesus, who was bright and alive, loving, and present with us. That was the message then, that's the message now. And part of that is that we don't know very much, the church hasn't told us very much about Jesus as a boy. The only glimpse of Jesus' boyhood is what I've just read. And you have to remember that the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew, which contain the birth narratives, which we're celebrating, came along much later. About the year 90 AD, they were written down. This is after the fall of the temple. And so the church was establishing. Jerusalem church was falling apart. And the church was moving historically from out of Jerusalem into Rome. And so the church was in a bit of disarray. And so the church was remembering Jesus and remembering how powerful and lovely Jesus was and is, and the early observers of Jesus, the people who knew him personally, were starting to die away. And so the church said, we must write down our experiences with Jesus, and we must try to remember them in a way that is impactful, because Jesus is more than words can convey. We must bring these messages of Jesus forward in a powerful way that people will always remember and never forget. And so the pre-Easter Jesus, the Jesus that we know was born, also had learned and was developing his own understanding of what it was like to be inspired by God, we have in this vignette of going to Jerusalem for the Passover. And you can imagine the astonishment of not just his parents, but also the astonishment of the leaders of the temple when here is Jesus challenging them and understanding their scripture and putting forward a lot of debate with them, that they were overwhelmed. And you can also imagine those of us have been parents. I've had one of my children was autistic, and when she was little, she was very strong, and she would climb any fences in the backyard, and we'd go out to get her, and she'd be gone. And this was in Summerside, Prince Edward Island. And where would she go? And I'd always go running down the street, and I'd find her every time heading for the water to get out into the water. And we'd pick her up and grab her and bring her back home. But I can imagine full well the pain and the aggravation and the wonderment of his parents who are looking for Jesus and couldn't find him. All of us who are parents know what it's like to have that child missing. Jesus, from early time, before anything happened, before he built his group that went around and proclaiming justice and attacking the civil authority of the day, the Romans, and the religious authority of the day, the temple priests, before he started to go after them for their hypocrisy, had been brilliant and was brilliant And the pre-Easter Jesus is what we're talking about. He was astonishing. In fact, the more I read about Jesus, the pre-Easter Jesus, post-Easter Jesus is why we're here, the resurrection and Easter. But the pre-Easter Jesus, the pre-crucifixion Jesus, is also astonishing. He was a prophet in his own time. People knew him as a prophet before they started to know him as God's presence alive in the world. And this presence was like Jesus was a savant. And as a savant, we know savants in our own time are brilliant. We can name some. Probably Martin Luther King was a savant because he saw into things deeply and saw God's presence and what God was calling him to be. Gandhi was a savant. The same thing. Greta Thunberg, as aggravating she might be to some, is a savant. In fact, when people challenge her and belittle her because she's autistic, she said, "It's my superpower." And this is amazing. I mean, she's part of the reason we're having the workshop on climate change on Saturday. That we have to listen to the prophets in our midst. Because not only does it come from themselves, but it comes from God. Jesus is from God. Jesus' presence in the temple as a teenager, as a 12-year-old, was from God. And people who knew him joined him happily about probably 20 years after this event or less. Because he was around the age of 30 when he started his ministry. That we here in our midst have to always listen to the prophets. We have to listen to the prophets and what they're saying. Because they are connected in their whole body to what it means to be following a loving God. And so today, in this first Sunday of the new calendar year of 2020, which 2020 always means to me, clear vision, let us have a clear vision of God in our midst. And that God is calling us today to be as radical and as life-changing as it was in Jesus' time. That we have to listen to the prophets, like Greta Thunberg, and listen and change our ways. Because if we don't, we are headed to the edge of the cliff and a great catastrophe. And we will be destroying the gifts that God has given us so freely and that we enjoy. And so today, as we receive the Eucharist, which is the concept of God's love poured out for us, let us take that love. Let it animate us and enrich us and strengthen us to take risks and to speak out in our society about how we proclaim God's love in this new decade. May God bless us all as we journey. Amen.